sitting here with my buddy. You guys have got to see what they got going on out here. It is amazing. First of all, it was windy in Atlanta and cold this morning. Mm-hmm. They have approximately like maybe 12 hoops. You can shoot threes. You can dunk on the low rim. You can shoot free throws. It's a good time right across from the dome.
Yeah, you almost, I mean, you have a great arrangement. You're almost inside. I mean, it's the next best thing.
Listen, I'm not even sure if I'm on the media pass list. If I got my credentials, we'll find that. That's the next step.
I'm glad you're on the air, at least. We want to welcome everybody in today. I am in New Orleans for the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, which got underway yesterday. It was pretty much by the book with the women here. That's who tipped off yesterday. The men will take the court today. We've got a 6 o'clock game involving UALR and Troy, which is actually what the women's matchup was last night, oddly enough. It's Trojan on Trojan crime. And Steve Shields joining us here at our broadcast location inside the arena. Coach Shields, good morning.
Morning, Justin. Good being with you.
It's great to be with you, Coach Shields.
Thank you.
Coach,
hey, Matty, I just want you to know back there. Hey, Bradley, how you doing?
Oh, buddy, I wish I was with you. I'd be a lot better right now.
Well, likewise, man. I know Acree talked to Matty about, can he smell him back here? I can certainly smell him right here, right next to him.
I don't want to know what he smells like. A mixture of
unfortunately,
oysters.
Well, let's not go there.
I don't smell like booze or oysters, unfortunately, because we didn't get done working until about 11 o'clock last night. But it was fun. We had a good time. And the UALR women won. The ASU women won. So all four teams from Arkansas alive through this afternoon. And, Coach, you're going to play a Troy team later today. That you split with this year. Oddly enough, you won down there, and they won at your place. So home court advantage not nearly a factor in the Trojans. I guess, you know, the Trojans didn't know which court they were on. It's a little confusing.
Well, I think that's where it comes from.
Maybe
if you
want
to talk that angle.
But yeah, we'll go that route.
We're facing a very, very good Troy team. They can really shoot the basketball. They do a great job getting to the foul line. They're a team that, as you mentioned, at our place, they were very comfortable from three-point line. They made some threes. They were able to get to the foul line. Looking back on it, felt like we were a step slow that day, and we certainly can't be a step slow today. I thought we were much better at their place. We had a good energy level to us. We took away the three-point line for the most part, and we took away their transition baskets, and that's something that we've got to do today.
Pat is in Atlanta, and the team that he is covering did not exactly finish their regular season on a high note. You guys had a little bit of a disappointing, although a good finish. You made a big push after falling behind to Monroe at the end of the season. Does that factor in at all in the way you think your team enters a tournament, the way they play their last game or last couple games?
You know, I think you go back to the last several games, and that's something that's been important to me talking with our basketball team. We were on a stretch where after we had lost Will Neighbor, we had a stretch where we lost five games in a row leading into those last three. And during that five-game stretch, it wasn't like, Justin, we had played particularly bad in some of those games. We lost at Lafayette, where we didn't have Leroy Isler, didn't have Will Neighbor suited up, either one of them, and we had a chance to win the game in regulation and unfortunately couldn't finish it off there. Got beaten double overtime. We had a 13-point lead at home against Western Kentucky during that stretch. Couldn't finish it off. Missed some free throws down there late in the last 44 seconds. Unfortunately, that gave them a chance to knock down a 25-foot three at the buzzer and get beat. But I think the important thing is that you finish up on a good note. Now, looking back over our last three games, we were able to win at Troy. We beat Arkansas State at home. Unfortunately, on senior night, we got beat by Monroe, which was very disappointing. But the positive out of all three of those games, without Will Neighbor, we made 20 baskets against Troy, had 18 assists. We made 26 baskets against ASU, had 16 assists. And on Saturday night against Monroe, we made 24 baskets, had 18 assists. Averaging 17.5 assists. That's moving the basketball and playing good basketball, and that's the way we've got to play here in this tournament. We don't have one guy that we can go to. At Troy, Ben Diller had 18 points against ASU. James White had 20 points. It could be a different guy on a different night.
Yeah, it is fun. I mean, you guys are hard to guard because of the versatility, and I know you'd love to have Will back, but certainly you've got a lot of different guys who have stepped up and filled the scoring role, and defensively you guys have been very solid all year despite all the moving parts, as we were talking about, because of injury. We talked about these numbers a little bit earlier in the week, and Pat, you and I went over these earlier as well. But, you know, when you look at the tough luck you guys had, ASU has really had a similar season. And you and I were talking last night briefly about the parity in this league. Georgia State has been the class of the league, but they pulled out a lot of close games, two of them against Arkansas State. Going back over these numbers for you guys, you lose by one at home to Western Kentucky after beating Western over there. You mentioned the Lafayette game, a double overtime loss. The UT Arlington game at your place, you lose by four, and a one-point loss to Monroe last week. And ASU's had a bunch of games like that. They played Georgia State within three at home. They lost in overtime, and they lost by one down there. So, again, this is a wide-open tournament, which a lot of them are, but this one That's especially, right. I think, this year.
No, it's gonna be fun. I think it is, Justin. I think you can you can look and see, you know, Western Kentucky finished second in our league at 12-6. We were 9-9. I mean, everybody, you can make an argument for about five teams that could have finished second right there. You've got to give Western Kentucky credit for making the plays that they had to make and finishing second, but I do think the tournament's wide open.
Just looking at Troy, and I've only seen him. Let me ask one more thing here, but I was going to ask about Troy specifically, because much like you guys, they don't have necessarily a go-to guy, at least from they don't have an all-conference guy is what I'm saying. Not right. First team, second team, or third team. What do you try to do against them defensively?
Well, we've got to take away the three-point line. They've got a number of guys that can shoot it out there. Williams is a phenomenal three-point shooter. Myers is a strong point guard who can drive it, does a great job getting to the foul line. And Calhoun is a mismatch nightmare. I mean, he's basically a three-man who they play at the four. So we're going to have bigger guys guarding him. Hopefully we don't get in a situation where we've got to go small to keep him off the – off the foul line and off the three-point line. I mean, we can't foul them, and we can't give them open threes. Those are the two things they do very well, and we've got to value the basketball and not give them stuff in transition.
Coach, with conference tournaments, with the way it's set up, with successive games and days in a row, how do you manage minutes? Does that even come into your mind, your thought process?
You know what, Pat? In a situation like we're in where you're playing the first day, I don't think you can. You've got to be worried about today, and that's all. You've got to try to get to tomorrow and let the situation play out. You know, we were in this situation 3 years ago, and that's what I went back and I showed our guys. Justin's asking about finishing up the right way. I showed him a stat sheet from 2011. We lost three straight games going into that tournament that year.
Wow.
We lost a heartbreaker on senior night by 1 point to North Texas, much like we did against Monroe. Mm-hmm. And we got beat at South Alabama and at Arkansas State going in. And so I think you take it one day at a time. Our guys are excited to be here. I mean, we know we eased off of practice. We didn't do much at all yesterday morning before we came down here. We practiced about an hour and 15 minutes on Monday and Tuesday. We've got 10 guys going, you know, in practice.
Yeah.
So you're not going to – you don't need length in practice. You need intensity in practice.
Pat Bradley in Atlanta, Justin Aker here in New Orleans. We're joined by Steve Shields, UALR head coach. Trojans at the court tonight against the other Trojans in the conference. Troy at 6 o'clock. If you win, get another shot at ASU. So you're playing a team tonight that you split with. If you can get by them, you play ASU, a team you split with. I mean, it has been, again, back to the parity in the league. It is totally up for grabs. Double bye. I don't know if we talked to you about it. We talked to Coach Klein about it and Coach Peterson a little bit. But as far as the way it was formatted, I think it was a unanimous decision to try to get the best team from the conference into the NCAA. The top two seeds get a double bye, which I know Saturday would have been great to get at least one bye, but nevertheless, you play what's in front of you. Like the format, you're satisfied with it.
I do. I mean, every men's head coach in the conference voted for it unanimously at the league meetings. And I know we've all talked about, because the last three tournaments have been won by Western Kentucky the last 2 years and us 3 years ago, winning four games. You know, so it's not like you look at it and say, byes give you an advantage, at least historically speaking in our league. But I still think what we're trying to do is get the better team or teams in the NCAA tournament. And that's why we chose as men's coaches to vote on the double bye, which gives Western Kentucky and Georgia State all the way to the semifinals. And hopefully we can prove that to be a bad decision on the men's coaches again this year.
But. Well, and then the next level, whoever wins that game with ASU gets Georgia State next. So you would play Georgia State in the semis and not in the finals. So that'll be it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'd love to see Arkansas teams represent both the men's and women's going to the NCAA, which would be great. I do want to mention one other thing about a former player. I saw a note came across yesterday from Patrick that Shane Edwards signed a 10-day contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So glad to see some of your foreign players making good.
Oh, without a doubt, Justin. And there's not a guy out there who's worked more diligently than Shane Edwards. I mean, when he came here from Northeast Community College out in Colorado, I mean, he was a thin young man. He worked diligently with John Barron. And he was a guy who he'd carry around that gallon jug of water
yeah.
every day, you know, hydrate. And he put on good weight. He added about 28 pounds from his junior to senior year, and he was first team all-league guy. He was a part of a team or two teams that won 20 his junior year and won 23 games his senior year. And he's continued to grind and fight it, and he's already had a successful pro career.
Yeah.
He's a graduate of ours, graduated on time, and just a quality young man. I didn't get a chance this morning to see. It was ironic that he was able to play. He met the team in Phoenix last night. I don't know if he got in the game or not, but he's originally from there, Gilbert,
oh, okay. I didn't
Arizona.
Realize that. That's cool.
So it was a great situation for his mom and dad to be able to go see him play.
That's a good news, bad news deal, Pat. Good news is you get a 10-day contract in the NBA. Bad news is it's with Cleveland. But, you know, NBA money's NBA money. It all spends the same.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oddly enough, you know, we've followed the Grizzlies pretty closely, Pat, and the Grizzlies played here last night against the Pelicans.
Yeah,
and beat them by a couple of points. We've got that game winner we'll play for you a little bit later in the show. Your Celtics come to town on Sunday. Unfortunately, we're going to be leaving before they tip off. And tomorrow night, Portland is in town. So we've got, we're going to be watching UALR and ASU if
That's
things go
busy,
the way I'm
busy
expecting.
Basketball
so
weekend out there.
Oh, my bro, God. This town is rocking. Are you kidding me? Plus, there's a lot of oysters to beat, so we got a lot going on. I do want to give a tip of the cap to the UALR women and the ASU women who won yesterday. UALR was in the late game last night, which was a good thing for me because I got to get down here and actually see the game. They knocked off Troy, so if that's a sign of things to come, that's a good thing. And I do want to give them a little credit from last night. But
we were able to get over here and watch the second half of that game, and Taylor Ford played very well, and as always, Joe Foley's teams are very well prepared, and we all know the job that he's done at UAR over the last several years. Phenomenal. There's not a better coach out there, but do want to pass along some condolences. Unfortunately for Joe, he lost his dad this morning, passed away. Buck Foley passed away, so condolences to he and his family out there, and our thoughts and prayers are with Joe and Chris and the Foley family.
No question. And apparently he'd been in some ill health recently.
He had some heart problems. I know Joe had gone and met with the doctors Friday and Saturday back in Little Rock when we were there. And but a tough deal.
Yeah.
And Joe's very close to his dad and has been, you know, for a long time. His brother Bucky is also Joe and his brother right there, very close. And thoughts and prayers go out to him.
Definitely. Well, I know you and Fo are like brothers, and I know it's a tough thing for the whole UALR family, and certainly for those of us who've gotten to know Joe and have so much respect for him, we certainly want to pass along our condolences as well. And that's a tough situation. And, you know, it is a little bit unique with him not playing today. I don't know if he'll go back and come back or what the situation will be, but it does afford him a little bit of flexibility with the team not playing today. But certainly it's family first for sure, so we wish him well and his family well in a tough time without a doubt. They are back on the court Friday, and they'll be playing Western Kentucky. And Pat, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it is by the book as far as the women go. All the top seeds won yesterday. If that happens with the men, that's a UALR men's win tonight. So what do you guys do this afternoon? Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to – I don't know if you got a chance to talk with Coach, and it's a unique opportunity to get his thoughts on what we had discussed. Was it 2 days ago when we were talking about winning the conference tournament was the NCAA tournament? And winning that NIT.
Yeah. What means
I'm
more to a program?
To see what Coach Shields says.
Yeah, what means more to a program, and talk about yours specifically, does it mean more to your program as far as prestige and when you get in the living room with a kid to go to an NIT and go deep? And we were using the comparison of going to the NCAA and losing the first round or winning an NIT championship. Tommy loves the idea of playing. We were arguing with him about this. I think he wants to go to Madison Square Garden because he was arguing for that angle. that is a factor for guys like us. Yeah. I think it's a big deal. I don't know if kids pay attention, 18, 19-year-old kids these days. Don't seem to talk about arenas and the mystique of Madison Square Garden the way we did when we were younger. That seemed like a bigger deal to me.
Right.
Maybe they still do. You would know better. What would be better for the program as far as the national cachet when you get in a living room?
I think, number one, you've got to get to the NCAA tournament. I mean, when we were able to get there in 2011, I mean, that's big from a recruiting standpoint because that's what we're all shooting for. I think, you know, for a mid-major program, when you look at getting in the NIT and being able to go, and if you're talking about winning a championship.
You get the whole thing.
That's a tough call.
That's pretty nice, Coach. That's a ring. That's a banner. That's pretty good, isn't it?
There's no doubt. And you think about the prestige of.
Bradley said, "I get 5 games of per diem. That's all he cared about."
Pat, I'll tell you something else that people may not know. I mean, in the men's NIT, 32 teams get in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're talking about
68.
And then 32 in there, and it stayed at 32 for years. And so that's still, you know, a championship and a great accomplishment.
69 popped in my head because we get this call. Well, if you win the NIT, you're just the 69th best team in America. It's not really true, but you can look at it that way if you want to.
It's right. Funny, though, because within the program, there are so many benefits with Coach. How much would you appreciate to have an extra 3 weeks to play in practice game situations, whether it be going with your team, you know? And
But on the other hand, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, especially, you know, tonight we're starting Marius Hill as a true freshman. Marique Isom plays a lot of minutes for us as a redshirt freshman. James White will start and has started a number of games this year. He's a redshirt sophomore. So you're taking all those guys and, like you're saying, playing or practicing, you know, 3 additional weeks, and you're talking about all those games that you're playing. What is it to win the NIT? 6 games?
5 or 6, yeah.
Something like that. But every one of those, you're on that stage where you win or you're done. And the more times you can put those young men in those situations, the better they get at it and the more comfortable they get at it.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
Anyway. Putting them in that situation, because it's just, you can talk about it, but until you go through that tournament style atmosphere, and you know how important it is when you do get in tournament style, which means, I don't want to say it means everything, but it certainly means a whole bunch of stuff. Playing those neutral site games and that atmosphere is, I think the players who have done it more often probably going to be more successful. I think without a doubt.
And that's why, you know, I hear you guys talk a lot about, like, Florida with their seniors and different teams out there that have a number of seniors and upperclassmen. I mean, that's why you see those teams that go on. That's why you see Wichita State where they are right now.
Yeah. And Creighton.
With that being said, that's Coach, right. Go ahead and win this because we want to go to the NCAA tournament, okay?
It would be fun.
About that?
No, without a doubt, because with our resume, we're not going to the NIT.
We'll let Georgia State go to the NIT with the Sun Belt regular season championship, and you guys will go to the NCAA. It's going to be fun.
Great.
It's going to be fun. And we got, for those of you back in Little Rock and around Arkansas, you got a couple games to focus on back-to-back, which is great. We got Arkansas tipping off at 2:30 today. They're the second game. What's the noon game today, Pat?
Noon game, sir. Noon game. Give me 1 second. 1 second. My assistant is a little slow. Come on, make it snappy, will you? God, I mean, you can't find any good help these days. You know what I'm saying, Coach Shields?
How about A&M in Missouri? Does that sound familiar?
That actually sounds exactly the way it should be, my friend. A&M in Missouri.
We'll go with that. A&M in Missouri for the right to lose to Florida. Arkansas plays at 2:30 against a South Carolina team that not only won a game yesterday but got a coach fired. I still cannot figure out how South Carolina was not. Yes, I did. I cannot figure out how South Carolina was not favored. I thought he would get to go back on the bus to the school. I didn't think they'd make him rent a car and drive back, which is what I read in a report.
Come on.
If that's the truth, that is doing somebody dirty. I hope that didn't happen. And then Mississippi State with a big upset yesterday. Pat over Vanderbilt, and they'll play Ole Miss in the late game tonight around 8:30 or so Central Time. How about that?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, really. It did. Although,
Bradley, I like seeing that with Mississippi State. You know who's on Rick Ray's staff down there?
Flanagan, right?
Who was on my staff for 4 years.
Right.
He was our associate head coach for a couple years and does a great job. And obviously the son of Al Flanagan over at Parkview High School.
So yeah.
Good to see.
Yeah, you just never know, again, in that tournament style. Some teams, and Vanderbilt is so tough at home that we tend to forget just maybe that this is certainly a job Kevin Stallings has done a good job this year with the team. But they're a different team at home. I don't know if everyone's ever kept up with Vandy, but they're certainly Mississippi State was a good matchup for them. They took advantage of it.
Well, they get Ole Miss tonight, so it'll be, you know what, you get Egg Bowl 3 or whatever the basketball version of that is tonight. I assume they play twice this year. LSU-Alabama is the 6 o'clock tip tonight. Arkansas against South Carolina, a team that is, to me, surging and playing well, which I'm sure Arkansas is on notice. Pat, I saw the line at 7.5. I think that's right. Arkansas favorite tonight. I know. I wouldn't touch it.
Hey,
and then Missouri and Texas A&M in the early game.
I wanted to ask Coach another question, and you can answer
if
you want.
He's got a limit. He's been
keeping
track. He said we're up against it, but that's fine.
One of the things, and just because we don't get a chance to get head Division I basketball coach in as often as we'd like, you had that situation with Coach Frank Martin, for instance, and you see a lot of coaches now. One of the big discussions that I saw on ESPN, you commented to me about it, was the head coach bench decorum and why everyone seems like it's something that's changed or it's different, and a guy like Frank Martin gets suspended, and everyone obviously saw what Jim Boeheim did. Let's just take Frank Martin, for instance. He did cuss at the kid. Do you think it was maybe a little bit going over the line having to suspend that guy for a game?
Well, first thing, Pat, I don't know the exact situation. I read the
he cussed at him.
Where he got he was suspended. I mean, I've known Frank for a good while. I like Frank. He's a personal friend, and I mean, you think about what he did for the North Little Rock Chamber, coming the day of the game, playing at Arkansas, and he's. I think sometimes guys are portrayed in a different way through the media than they actually are. I mean, sometimes we do things that we regret, and I think Frank came out and apologized and said he regretted the situation that he had created. But there's not a better family man out there. There's not a better guy out there who fights for his players. He's passionate about what he does, and I love the track that Frank came through.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a high school coach for 16 years. I mean, he knows how to roll up his sleeves and work and grind and fight through it. And
all I do is ask coaches this: would you let your kid play for him?
I would.
I would too.
Yeah.
I like the guy a lot. He's intense. He's got that intense look. He's certainly got an intense demeanor.
But he's going to hold guys accountable.
Yeah.
And they're going to do the right things, or they're not going to be around him. And
I guess my question go ahead, Coach.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, you know, South Carolina, it's not like a surprise when Frank Martin explodes. It's just almost in a sense, hey, just you know how he is, and you accept how he is. If you didn't like it, bring him in.
Especially when you've got a guy who's been successful where he's been, and like you're saying, Pat, there are no surprises here, and there are no surprises for young men when they sign on to play for him.
Right.
I mean, they and that's the thing you always want in the recruiting process. I always tell our guys, when you come in, man, we're going to put you with our players for a reason. I want you to find out. Ask them questions about me. Mm-hmm. So when you get here next fall, there are no surprises.
You don't let them talk to your wife, though, right?
I want them to talk to everybody.
Wow. You know, I'm real dirt on it.
You know what I'm saying, Pat? Because the worst thing that can happen is you bring a guy in, and then he gets there in November, and he's like, wow, I didn't know this guy was like this.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you don't want surprises. And in a day and age where we have over 400 transfers in Division I basketball, have year in, year out, there will continue to be that trend, but you want to try to eliminate as many of those as you can. Back on bench decorum, if I could, Justin. We had a conference call leading into this tournament on Monday, at Monday morning, and our conference commissioner, Carl Benson, spoke for the first 5 minutes of it. We had all head coaches had received a letter from the NCAA head of officials talking about bench decorum in conference tournaments. And it continues to be a point of emphasis. And the commissioner talked about it for 5 minutes at the start of the conference, didn't talk about anything else, said, welcome, best of luck to everybody. Hey, just point of emphasis now. You better stay in that box. You better handle your teams. You better handle your staffs. There better not be, because, you know, you don't want to lose a game on somebody getting popped in a critical situation. So,
Coach, you've been around guys like Tommy Smith and Randy and you know, Pat, myself, enough to know that basically every question we ask has something to do with us in our background. So Pat is really upset about this decorum becoming an issue now that he doesn't play for no one anymore. He's like, where were all the media guys to stick up for poor me getting my butt chewed by Nolan for 4 years? I really could have used a little help.
Let me tell you something. Coach Shields, you know this. First of all, if we ever did think about complaining of what our coach and how our coach treated us, he would treat us even worse. So there was no – if I ever came out, and that's what I – listen, who are these kids that feel no fear that they can actually go and tell somebody how their coach is treating them?
No, the first thing, it's a different time in 2014 than it was back in what, 88, 89, 80, 85.
No, that was Joe Klein's time, Coach. Come on.
No, but I think about, Pat, when I went to Oklahoma City University. It was Coach Lemon's first year back there and then transferred back to McLennan, where I played for Ken DeWeese. And Coach DeWeese had been a longtime assistant for Don Haskins out at UTEP, Texas Western, for 15 years. And I think about some of those situations along the way where you're like, wow. I mean, he was a heck of a coach.
Yeah.
He was a heck of a coach, just like you're saying, Coach Richardson.
Yeah.
But that was a different time when these weren't around.
Yeah.
These cell phones and pictures and
video, Twitter. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a completely different time.
There is no question. Hey, Pat, I do want to mention, too, Coach, I want to get you on the record. We are going to play golf in 2014 with Bradley.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. It's on the record.
Let's do it.
Hey, Pat, we don't get a chance to get one coach, let alone two on together very often, but I do want to bring Coach Sam Weaver in from over at Philander Smith. He's his own favorite, and he's an old Iowa State guy. So Coach Weaver's my guy. You know that.
Yeah.
Coach, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Coach, what's
everything's
going on?
Great.
Good.
Coach Weaver,
Coach
how are you, Coach?
You guys getting ready to go, huh?